Good morning to each of you, and greetings in the name of Jesus. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege of being here and worshiping with your children. And thank you for the things we heard, and I pray that now we would continue to hear your word and that you would take charge of my thoughts and my words, and that what would come forth would be from you. I just pray your blessing upon each of us that are gathered here today. May today be a day of growth in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm always sensitive as I speak that it is God's words that are coming forth rather than mine. And that's a challenge because myself and anyone else that stands in this spot uses their mouth and uses their brain and writes things down and says things. And so how can God take what I'm saying and make it something that can apply to you and make it be as though he was standing here speaking? I'm not sure how God does that, but I know God can do that, and I pray that God would do that today. This morning, we're going to continue the thought that Paul started this morning about the end of the year and looking into 2018. I think all of us know that today is the last day of 2017. If it needed to be done in 2017, today is your last chance. You can't do it tomorrow. It has to be done today. There's a significant profession that is related to this. It's called accounting. And I know we have one accountant here. Put up your hand if you're an accountant or if you work in an accounting office. All right. So we have Sister Fanny. I think some of the rest of us have heard of it before. And we'd like to think a little bit about accounting. And I'd like you to tell me some things about accounting. We're going to talk about the purpose of accounting in a bit. So right now, I'd like you just to tell me some things about accounting. What do you think of? What is it? And so on. What comes to your mind when you think of accounting? Sorry? Taxes. All right. What else? Balances. There's a lot of right answers. Okay. Record of transactions. Equity, profit loss. Fanny, you're allowed to help us out too. What are they missing? All right. All right. Difficult and a lot of work. Anything else? Sorry? Accountability? Okay. Okay, you sort of got two things there. So let me talk about the one first. So accounting, do the accountants make plans for you? In their report, do they say, next year you should buy a farm, next year you should buy 3 new tractors, next year you should go on a big vacation? Is that the job of an accountant? No. Fanny, is that the job of an accountant? Okay. So, what does an accountant do? An accountant looks into the past, correct? The accountant's work, Fanny's job, really does not analyze information in 2018, even though for the next 3 or 4 months, she's going to be very busy, she said. She's not going to be looking at 2018. A few years ago, I took a little course, and it was taught by a chartered accountant. And it was sort of an introduction to some accounting principles. And what he kept focusing on was he had a picture of a train, a big train going down the track. And he said, the accountants are in the caboose. And the accountants are looking out the back window of the caboose. And I like that thought. And does that explain, is that a correct analysis, Fanny? The accountants are in the back of the caboose, looking out the back. All right, so accounting is a backward look. Okay, it's factual. There's more things. This is all good, it's all true, been no wrong answers yet. All right, inventory. And once again, inventory, we understand, is the current situation. It has nothing to do about 2018. It's inventory today, as of December 31. All right. Those are some considerations. Now, what is the purpose of accounting? Who cares what's out the back window of the caboose? This is 2018. 2017, we have about 13 more hours. So who really cares about 2017? What is the purpose of accounting? What's that? The tax man cares. We talked about that. And is accounting just for the tax man? Is that the only one that cares about it, Fanny? All right. So do you think the client has no idea up until you're done your work if they're doing okay or if they're not? It's probably some do and some don't. I think that there's some of us that, you know, we have a general idea that, you know, it's okay and we're getting along. But maybe the accountant is going to find something dangerous. What else? What other purpose is it? So when accountants do their work, they gather all the facts. Maybe they'll show you a monthly summary. They'll say that in January, you actually lost money. In February, you made a lot of money. In March, you made a lot of money. In April, you made a lot of money. In May, maybe it was a break even, and so on. And so if you based all of your information on the month of, if you based everything on the month of January, you would say, oh, I lost a lot of money, so I'm in trouble. But if you take a year, an annual average, You say, you know what? We're good. Maybe the reason you lost money in January is because you sell ice cream cones on one of those pedal carts. You go down the street and tinkle your bell. And maybe I should say the month of December, sales were low. Why were sales low? Because everyone had their windows closed and they couldn't hear your little bell. Ice cream is still good. You know that that's going to be a slow month. By the time you hit June, all of a sudden sales are going to be going up again. And so accounting helps us to just get a broad picture and make proper decisions. Maybe you'll decide after the annual review that I need to buy 3 more ice cream carts and have all my children drive one because there's so much money from June to September in ice cream carts. So there's a couple other things about accounting, and this is basic, but when an accountant reviews your work for 2017 and he shows you that the month of June of 2017, you actually lost a lot of money. And I'm not sure why it was, but you lost a lot of money. But you see the report and you know exactly why you lost the money there. You should not have bought that new tractor. And it costs way too much. The payments were way too high. So what you can do with that information is you can say, oh, I'm going to change that. I'm not going to buy the tractor. I'm going to take it back and get all my money back, correct? And then the month of June will look good. No. So another accounting principle is that nothing can be changed. So what's done is done. The information that they gather is only for the future. There's a couple other things. If you made a lot of money in 2016, if 2016 was a record-breaking year for you, does that mean that 2017 will be as well? Can you look at your returns and your information from 2016, you say, yes, I'm all set. 2017 will be the same. No. The past is no guarantee of the future. There's another sort of accounting principle that this person that I was talking to referred to a lot, and I think it's the challenge for all of us, and it's the challenge of an accountant. Would you like if your accountant gave you information that said you are doing extremely well, but it was false? No, that would be useless information. However, sometimes the accountant only can work with the information he's given. If you don't give the accountant, you know, 15 of your major expenses, it will look like you made a lot of money. But in fact, you didn't. So the rule, garbage in, garbage out. So the accounting report is only as good as the information that's put into it. If you put in false information, you get a false picture out. All right, so what are some other things that accounting does for us? Well, Fanny and different people have referred to how when we look at the information, we make decisions and we plan based on that information, and that is very correct. And while the past is not a guarantee of the future, as you review the past, you know, accounting report takes a lot of analysis on your part. But if you look at the month of June, you can see that I made money there because of this, or I lost money because of this. And, you know, it just helps us to get a real picture of where we're at. It guides our future decisions. We know really why we lost money in February. And if we always lose money in February, maybe it's something we can do different in February. And so, again, that information guides what we need to do. The other thing it does, it compares data from previous years. So if you notice that your fuel bill is a lot higher in 2017 than it was in 2016, that might be a concern. Maybe there's a hole in the tank, or maybe there's another problem, or maybe it was a very cold winter. But again, all of those, it points out areas of weakness or concern and gives you a chance to fix them for the coming year. It also is used as a basis to decide if you should buy that farm or those three tractors. You can look at your history. You can make plans based on that. You can compare month to month from the previous year and decide if that's going to be a wise choice or if it's not going to be a wise choice. I think you've guessed where I'm going, but we're not talking, or the point of this message is not business accounting, but it's actually a look at ourselves. And I'm wondering, Jason and Andy, if you can project something up on the screen here. I apologize, I forgot what I was planning to bring, so I did a little scan of the one that I have in my hand, and it may be a little chopped up, but it is there. So we talked about taking an inventory. We talked about doing an analysis of the past in our business. This is something that applies to me. I think many of the things on here will apply to you, but you may actually need a different report or some customization, and it's not conclusive at all. But the idea is that the principles, the accounting principle and the need for personal inventory applies to each of us, and that today is a good day to do it. So looking at, you know, several main categories, your relationship with God, and the value of doing this is you go down through here, you fill out where you think you're at. You don't have to. You notice that they're blanks. I do have a copy with numbers filled in the blanks that I decided not to show today. But what does it do? If you go down through each of those areas and you put a number in, what does it do to you? In my case, it shows, when I get here, that's, you know, it forces you to look at your life. And I'm the type of person that things are going well, things are going smoothly, and I don't spend a lot of time looking in the past. I know that, you know, here's an area that I'm weak on. Someday I'll fix it, but I never actually look at it. So something like this gives us all an opportunity to sort of itemize our list. And I would suggest if you do something like this, make it very practical to you. Put your own things, put your own points in there. And fill them out. What it will do is if you fill it out next year, or maybe you've done one from last year, you'll see your progress or your lack of progress. And even in accounting, sometimes if there's a downward trend in profits, maybe it's 2% a year, or maybe it's 1% a year, you know, it doesn't hurt you the first year, but if that trend continues, you got a big problem in a few years. And similarly, if with any of these things, you know, this is an analysis carried out by yourself. But, you know, just looking at it, and again, the rules that we talked about, garbage in, garbage out, we know we can't, we can trick ourselves, but we can't trick God or we can't trick anyone else. You know, it's important that we go down through here, the love for God, Bible study, prayer, and just take a good look at yourself, or myself, and figure out where we're at in these things. I think all of these are important. Turn to Romans chapter 13, please. As we discussed, what's in the past, whatever number you've written there for 2017 can't be changed. That's what it is. 2017 is past and gone. We take this information, though, and we chart a course for 2018. And that's actually the title of the message, Charting a Course for 2018. So let's read Romans chapter 13. I'll read the whole chapter, and we're going to spend most of our time talking about verses 8 to 10, or 8 to the end of the chapter. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision of the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. All right, charting the course for 2018. This is a very familiar chapter, and I was just impressed with the simplicity of the words that I just read. You know, to be an accountant is difficult. There's a lot of study. It's very tedious, but to understand what we just read is quite easy. And I was blessed as I thought about how simple God's commands are and how beautiful they are. The first number of verses talk about civil authorities and how we should obey them, how we should be good citizens. And I think that's very basic, but that's number one on the list. We should be a good citizen. We should obey the law. We should be good neighbors. We should live our lives you know, in a way that is pleasing to God. And I think we understand that. You know, it's embarrassing when we hear that there was a supposedly Christian person that was, you know, caught by the law, caught cheating or disobeying the law in some other way. And, you know, I think our hearts sort of cringe when we hear that, because, you know, that shouldn't happen. And let's make sure we keep our lives clean and obey the law. The minister of God is set up to guide the land, and it's our job to follow him and to obey what they say and to obey what they do. Going on, there's a very strong focus on love. And so I've made my next point is love everyone. And love is mentioned a number of times in here. And actually, verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." I read that. I'm not sure what version you're reading today, but God's Word version says, "Pay your debts as they become due. However, one debt you can never finish paying is the debt of love that you owe each other." And I like that thought. You know, I never will get finished paying each of you love. I owe you love. I owe you true, honest Christian love from my heart. And if we love, that solves a lot of our problems. If you look at many of the items on this list here, whether it's anger, whether it's pride, whether it's purity, whether it's, you know, patience with our family, you know, almost anything on that list, if the love of God is flowing through us, those things will not be a problem. And, you know, someone has, I remember hearing this in the past, that if our love is correct, we don't have a problem with sin. If we truly love our wife, we will not commit adultery, as is mentioned in here. We will not steal from our neighbor. We will not, verse 10 says, we won't work ill to our neighbor. We won't make things difficult for him. Basically, you think of your weakness and you decide if loving that person, if loving more would solve it. And I'm almost sure that it will. Someone said that love is a short form for writing the word holiness. And that was an interesting thought, but the more I think about it, I think there's a lot of truth to it. If we love God and love our fellow man, I think we'll have a good year in 2018. No matter how our report looks in 2017, if we truly, honestly love our brother, this, you know, there's a lot of words in Romans about relating to our fellow man. And the previous chapter is Romans 12 that talks about the body, talks about, you know, working together as a body. The next chapter, Romans 14, talks about how we relate to those that are weak in the faith and so on. And, you know, the whole thought of the church, the body, and how they work together, and how love just makes them such a blessing, you know, I think is woven through the words that we read today, and I think should be a strong part of our lives in 2018. If we love, the law is fulfilled. The laws, the commandments that are written in this chapter are fulfilled if we love. It takes away selfishness because we love others better than ourselves. And whether it's families, whether it's friends, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's our church body, you know, love will make 2018 a good year if our love is what it should be. Let's work on that. The next one I have is to cast off the works of darkness. And that thought is in this chapter a few times. The words are in verse, I'm not seeing it right now, but I know it's in here. Verse 12. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So, obviously, if you're sinning, stop sinning. Get rid of that. It's referred to almost as clothing. So, throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's easy to see, easy to understand. There's different things mentioned here that are part of the works of darkness, and it's not a conclusive list, but it is. We do understand it. We can't change the lusts of the flesh, and I think this chapter tells us that our flesh will want wrong things. Sometimes we think that if we're redeemed, you know, any desire for evil is gone. And I don't believe that's scriptural. I believe that the desire for evil can be minimized. I believe it can be guided. But I believe in your heart there's something that always wants to sin. And that's why it talks about this. And the last verse says, do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. As though, you know, my flesh wants to sin. There's something in me that always wants to sin. And I can make it easy for my flesh, or I can make it hard for my flesh. What this is saying is make it hard for your flesh. If this desire to sin, make it difficult. And that's things that we can do. We can make choices. We can lead ourselves into temptation. We can enjoy temptation. Well, then it will be easy to sin. If we're able to walk away from temptation, if we're able to not make provision for the flesh, we'll be much more effective in casting off the works of darkness. Next, I'd like to think about but put on the Lord Jesus as is found in verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So in contrast to casting off the works of the flesh, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And some versions talk about that as clothing. So if put on Jesus Christ as clothing. So what will that look like if I do that next year? I think we understand that it's not a piece of clothing, because clothing is not right or wrong. Clothing, but wearing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, Jesus will be close to me if I'm wearing him. He'll be surrounding me. I think if I'm wearing the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be obvious to you. And I think it'll be obvious to people I work with and people that I interact with that person has been with Jesus Christ. The commentator Clark had an interesting observation. Apparently, I'm just going to read it. To be clothed with a person is a Greek phrase signifying to assume the interests of another, to enter into his views, to imitate him, and be wholly on his side. And I like that thought. If we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and apparently from what he's saying, the way that the people would have understood that is that when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you would assume their Jesus Christ's interests, that they would now be yours. You would enter into his views. If this is Christ's position on something, that would be my position also, or your position. You would imitate him and be wholly on his side. And that is my desire in 2018, that I would actually put on the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. If this happens, it will be very obvious to others. If I am completely on Jesus Christ's side, if I'm trying to imitate him and doing everything as though Jesus is part of me. Part of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is just having fellowship, good fellowship, I believe. And, what we talked about, making provision for the flesh, one way to make provision for the flesh is to be with people that also make provision for the flesh. And in the opposite of that is, if we want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, spend time with people who also want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will impact your life. It won't do it for you, unfortunately, but it will again make it easier for you to wear the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all of this. Cast off the works of darkness. Love. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ with a sense of urgency, as the time is short. People that are older than me say, oh, if I think the time moves fast, wait till you get to be my age. And I say that to my children, say, you know, if you think you went from 16 to 17 really fast, wait till you're going from 43 to 44, because that goes much faster. Well, we understand, by the time you reach my age and older, we understand that the time is short. Our bodies are growing old, and our time is short. We also understand the brevity of life. It was mentioned this morning about someone that was 15 or 16 that died a few days ago, died this week, and that can happen. I remember a funeral that I was at one time where there was a man that was about my age, died, and the minister said that the old must die and the young can die. And that's true. You know, we expect when someone is 90 years old, if we hear they died, you know what? We sort of saw that coming. If someone that is 15 dies or someone that is 40 dies, you know, that can happen, and we're all aware of that. We've seen it. This chapter also talks about the time being short. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We could say 2017 is far spent. 2018 is at hand. 2018 means I'm 1 year older. It could mean that, you know, Christ is coming next year. It's also possible that Christ is coming this year. We don't know. But the time is short. If you're scoring very badly on here, and you know it, you know, now is the time to fix it. You don't have the next 15 years to slowly see those numbers creeping up. You got to fix it today. Deal with it. Another insight, I mentioned the Greeks' thought on and the Greeks' understanding of put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently the Jews also used a similar phrase, and I'm going to read what it meant to them. The ancient Jews frequently used the phrase putting on the Shekinah, or putting on the divine majesty, to signify the souls being clothed with immortality and rendered fit for glory. Well, part of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is making me fit for glory. I may never see 2018. Christ may come before then. Christ may come any time, as we know. It's important that I'm wearing the Lord Jesus Christ, because that will make me fit to enter into God's presence. And I know, if I was to ask everyone in this room, that's what you would want. You want to be in God's presence in eternity. I don't question that at all. So, as I said, we can't change the past. We can change the future. We can chart a different course. Let's chart a course for 2018 that will involve us putting on the Lord Jesus Christ will involve us casting off the works of darkness, loving everyone, and then we will be fit to meet God whatever year, whatever day he comes. May God bless each one.